Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome back, friends, to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. The season's over, but we're still here. Yes, because we still got content for you. There's lots to talk about. We're going to do some of it today and even, well, actually mainly, prep you for next year. It's never too early, even though the season is barely done. I mean, the embers have barely gone out. We are still looking at 2023, and that's what we're going to do today as Brandon, Jake, and myself are going to do a slight little different take on those early mock drafts that everybody's doing. A lot of people are drafting out there. Well, the three of us are going to take a look, and we are going to essentially have to agree. We're going to go through them, and we're going to do the agreement draft. This will be the agreement draft of 2023, where we'll go through who sits there, who finishes out, and of course, joining me is Brandon Funston.
What are you laughing?
Twitter,
because we're going to get through three picks, and that's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, basically, we are the House of Fantasy Football Representatives, and we might have to do this 15 times to get it right, but we'll get there.
I like the agreement draft reminds me of an offshoot of like the jump to conclusions, Matt, from Office Space. Like, it's a jump to conclusions. We have got to figure this out, Jake, and I feel like you're going to have some opinions on this at All In Kid on the Twitter. Feel like the agreement is good. We're going to have to find ways to agree with Jake, Brandon. I think it's going to be Jake versus us here. That's why I think this is going.
I think two out of three is a majority, my man.
It is a majority. That's right. That's how we'll work it. So watch out, Jake.
Solidarity here.
Exactly. So. And Jake, are you ready for this? Are you ready? Have you thought about this early draft? Have you actually done any of these? I'm currently doing a 2023 early mock draft. We're only going five rounds just to get an early taste of it because it is like massively too early and there's so much that can go into it. I totally understand that. Do you think though, like what level of value do you think is in taking a look at this right now? Especially there's like a keeper dynasty, but you can never be prepared too early. Do you think enough of what we're coming off of in 2022 is going to set the stage properly right now to draft an early 2023 draft?
No. Yeah, I think it's like perfect. Maybe 50% Free agency, let alone free agency, then the draft, there's just way too much that happens. You're just going to have changes. Look, this time last year, everybody was Michael Carter as a first, second rounder because Michael Carter was going to have the backfield to himself. And then the draft happens and boom, out the window goes Michael Carter. So like, I'm just saying like, it's 50-50. Like, of course, there's a lot of situations, but, you know, you could sit here and talk about wide receivers with all the volume, and then they add somebody in the first round of the draft. So there's just a lot that – free agency, there's just way too much going on.
That is true.
Just to jump in, but you should plug – aren't you doing your way too early rankings, what, next week?
No.
Or 2 weeks?
It's the week in between. The new whatever game skill set thing. Jigger and roll is whatever's happening.
The answer is it's way too early, but it's sticky content.
Oh, yeah.
People love to talk
people
about it.
People still want to absorb it. Yeah, it's rankings. Absolutely. People want to get mad about my rankings all the time.
You know, I will mention this is the last opportunity. If both of you want to go to the uppers and fight for it, that the Super Bowl will be down the street for me. If we need to, you know, does it get me any passes or anything like that? And you need me to get out and get some content, the Super Bowl, the experience, Radio Row, everything is happening in my backyard. And then I believe the skills competition
right in your backyard.
Wow. Almost. Yeah, it literally is almost in my backyard. Except I did find out I thought they would do everything at the stadium, but they're not doing anything at the stadium this year. They're actually literally spreading it out through the valley here in Phoenix. Scottsdale is where Radio Row is and the NFL experience is in Phoenix. And the game is in Glendale.
How does that make any sense? There's so much of an infrastructure built around that stadium that
there
seems perfect for that. But
well, there's actually there's the retractable field that takes up this huge area with a parking lot that they could run any event out of it. So I don't know why they're doing it that way, but yeah, no big deal. Yeah, just Super Bowl in the backyard and everything like that. But skills competition is in Vegas. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. We actually will be back that week before the Super Bowl to kind of preview that, maybe talk about some DFS options and go through there. But the season is over. Brandon, I just wanted to get any takes, you know, from this past year that might carry over into 2023, maybe a take that you have. But I do want to point out that the Seattle Seahawks and my 49ers are facing off in the first playoff game this Saturday. So,
What do they say? It's really hard to beat a team three times in one season.
That is true.
I think the 49ers will figure out a way because they're just the better team. But my takeaway from the season that I will not be able to shake going into drafts next year is how much I struggled to find wide receiver value on the waiver wire in your standard 12-team leagues. I think this is the year where the proliferation of two RB backfields that have meaningful touches allowed for there just to be I never struggled to find someone to plug in as like a flex flyer at running back. Usable wide receivers that I felt could get me 40 yards and four catches, that became a struggle. And so I will be intent going into drafts most likely. And obviously not every year is the same, but I feel like how is there going to be a sea change to suddenly wide receivers are super deep again? I think the quarterback class kind of struggled. I think defenses have gotten better and gotten better at, you know, at protecting against the passing game, that I will be looking at wide receivers a lot earlier. So I'll just be making sure that I have my depth covered, you know, so that I'm not in a position where I'm scrambling for receivers all season long. I think it's important, imperative that you get 4 to 5 quality receivers from the get-go and you work from a position of strength early.
You know, I just kind of want to agree with that. That was my big one. That's what really killed me this year. I'm always going to be kind of just a running back guy. I like to invest early when I can in running backs, and I don't like to get caught from behind. But this year, I played way too much into the depth at wide receiver. You play that game where you're like, hey, you know, in round, whatever, 60, or not round, but, you know, around the picks of 60 or something like that, the wide receivers to the running backs, there's really no comparison. The wide receivers are still better. And then you do the same thing in the 80s, and you keep telling yourself that. And the next thing you know it, you don't even have a wide receiver three. And I'm going to have a very concerted effort in these next drafts to probably take wide receivers a little bit higher and really go hard in the depth. Because you're right, Brandon, there was a lot more value at running back in the later rounds and off of the wire than I probably in any other year. I don't want to let that be my crutch and be like, oh, running back's always going to be great. But there just was so much more. Wide receiver was my absolute crutch. But Jake, what do you think? What's going to be your 2023 draft takeaway from this past season? Very, very, very fresh still in our minds.
I'm still trying to figure out who you're drafting in round 60. That's all.
Yeah, 60. Whoa, what a draft that would be. What an amazing draft that would be in round 60. What an awful picking draft out. That would actually be now that I'm thinking about it. That'd be a horrible draft to do.
I mean, thank you. Yeah. Maybe LaDainian Tomlinson will come back and play again. Who knows?
By the way, did you see LaDainian Tomlinson, that fit he had in the national championship game? He was looking rocking and with that cowboy hat and
everything after that was not
what a horrible game, by the way.
Yeah. Awful. Worst way to end the college football season. Apologies, but go ahead.
100%. So, but I bet you every Buffalo Wild Wings out there, even in Virginia, had 90% Georgia fans, just like they did when Alabama was playing Notre Dame, because they just all of a sudden show up like they all existed this entire time. Anyway, sorry for a complete sidebar. So where I agree with you guys, I'm actually going in a different direction because I'm still taking running backs early, but I agree. I think because of what Fonston said, I don't think it's the fact that wide receiver's not deep. I'm thinking it like from my experience, I think it's that everybody knows it's deep. So everybody knows that there's upside with finding wide receivers late and that they got picked a lot more than they had in past years. Like, I think if like maybe do a study, like I feel like benches were filled with more of like 4 wide receivers out of 6 spots, where in years past, it used to be like 3 and 3 or even 3 running backs, 2 wide receivers and a quarterback. I think more wide receivers were drafted and rostered this year too. So why I agree with Fonsa is like, that's what it was. I saw the same thing. Waivers were pretty thin trying to find a wide receiver you could rely on. But I think that was because people had shifted and that the industry has shifted to the more intelligent way to build your depth. So I'm still running back early, but I agree with Fonsa is like, start hitting them and make sure you get 5 or 6 wide receivers before you get to round 14, because usually the round 14 wide receivers don't even hit. Where around 14 running back is more like you need an injury or possibly even 2.
So I think that's the difference there. So I agree and disagree. The other thing I think you can make a case to start taking quarterbacks earlier. I won't say early, but this is now another year where the top three quarterbacks have almost 3 points per game edge over the rest of the field, being Hurts, Mahomes, and Josh Allen. Yeah. I think, you know, we sit here as the industry and say, wait on quarterback, wait on quarterback, wait on quarterback, wait on quarterback. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying take them in the second round. But if I'm sitting there in the third round, it's like, hey, I could get Josh Allen and just know I have that leg up. It's almost a Travis Kelce leg up, not to that degree, but you just have that surety all year long where you don't have the down games mixed in. You don't have the inconsistency. So I think you're going to see some people start to gravitate more towards, you'll see the QB ADP rise, and you'll get some third, fourth, fifth rounders like we had seen tight end starting to do.
I've always been like that too. The late round quarterback is fine, but I've always been the type, if I can get the value on the elite quarterbacks, I want to give it an opportunity, yeah, depending how my roster is. And
the one year I ran away with flex was the year after Cam Newton had a terrible season. And it was the year that he bounced back and had a huge season. And I got him like the 12th round. I was like, at this point, like, stop, I'll take my quarterback. And he was only like the 10th quarterback off the board because it's an industry league and everybody doesn't, yeah, want to take a quarterback. But I agree with you. It's like at some point, you know, I put it this way. When I was drafting this year, it never happened, but I think we had this conversation. If Josh Allen was sitting there in the fifth round, I was going to take him. Like, sure. There's a breaking point.
Six quarterbacks scored 20 or more points. You already mentioned the top three. There's a three-point drop, and then the next were Burrow, Fields, and Jackson. So one of the big things to point out is, like, there's not really an out. Like, Justin Fields is an outlier and stuff like that, but it's not that much. Like, five of the six are non-outliers that would be the top five that are going to go. And then you had a running quarterback in the style of Lamar Jackson go and score more points per game than Lamar and Justin Fields. Like, that's the type of stuff that pushes these quarterbacks up. But look at the attrition rate. It's almost zero to the top five quarterbacks that stay in there. It's definitely an interesting look. And I've actually got up here to help, because what we are going to do is we are going to be drafting out the first two rounds in our agreement draft. Probably not going to be a quarterback in here, but I have laid out the points and of the top 24. I actually excluded quarterbacks because of everything we just said. They, you know, they put up wild numbers and total points. They overmatch this, but we're not going to necessarily be taking them.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is just going to take us into how we are going to put this together. There's a couple running backs that went at the very top in scoring. I'm actually going to just lay this out real quick for points if people want to know what the top 12 in scoring look like, and then we can figure out how we're going to assign them. The number one scorer for total points and half PPR was Austin Eckler this past year. Right behind him, 6 points behind, was Christian McCaffrey. So those are your top two guys that scored 18 points or more per game, and they scored the most total points, followed up by Justin Jefferson We have Josh Jacobs at number 4, Derrick Henry at 5, Devontae Adams at 6, Tyreek at 7, Nick Chubb at 8, Diggs at 9, Travis Kelce at 10, followed by AJ Brown and Saquon Barkley. And, you know, that's a pretty good rate. I would be curious, you know, Jake, let me ask you this. This is something I did a lot during the season. You kind of talk about, I remember midway through the year, people were like really pissed about running backs and we're like, we're going to take more wide receivers early on. And the running backs are not hitting, but the wide receivers are. I don't know. They're all kind of the same names. Like, look at this list of 12 that in scoring, a lot of those guys are in that first or second round. Like, if a guy, you take a guy in the first and he scores second round points, I'm still going to, for the most part, give him the credit for where you took him. Same thing for the second scoring in. Who are the outliers that jumped in? It's Josh Jacobs and maybe, I don't even know if you could say AJ Brown at this point. I think it might be just Josh Jacobs is the one guy that like broke this seal of the top 12.
Of the top 12, yeah. I mean, if you wanted to talk about a little bit further, top 12, just purely running back, Tony Pollard would be the one there. I mean, if you go back to last year, I'm looking at it right now. Taylor McCaffrey, Eckler, Henry, Harris. Najee Harris didn't make it. He missed the cut. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor, the injury. But Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, disappointment. DeAndre Swift, massive disappointment. Aaron Jones is there. Barkley is there. Chubb is there. And then you have Javonte, who got hurt. Fournette and down from there. So really, you have about three or four names. But, I mean, to have that, that's actually one of the highest hit rates we've seen in a long time.
That's what I was thinking.
Top 12 running backs to be about, what is that, about 70%-ish to be within that range. That's not normal. And a lot of it is usually because of injury. It's also, funny enough, the same at wide receiver. Most years, there's like at least two or three top 10 wide receivers that get hurt. This year, you know we lost Cooper Kupp, but Jefferson, Chase got hurt. So I guess, well, there's two right there. So I just lied. But Adams, Diggs, Lamb, Debo, disappointment and hurt. Tyreek Hill, Pittman, massive disappointment. Mike Evans, hurt and disappointment. Keenan Allen, A.J. Brown. That was the top 12 right there. So I don't think they're that different, and that's why I always go back to the running back argument. It can go either way, and people always argue, well, the wide receiver is more consistent, and wide receiver is more unlikely to get hurt. Like, tell me the difference between the top 12 for both. It's essentially the same hit rate for both.
Yeah, see, I completely agree with that. And what's interesting is wide receiver and running back both had each had one massive disappointment, one due to injury in Kupp, and one due to Jonathan Taylor being a Colt. You know, those also two, and injury, but both like were massive smacks backwards, which I think people are carrying, but you're not looking at the totality of it. So let's start this up, Brandon. We'll start with you. And, you know, it's not necessarily nominating, but it's kind of in the nominating range. I actually don't think there's a consensus at number one, at least what I'm seeing early on, but I do think it is a pair of either Eckler, McCaffrey, or Justin Jefferson. That looks like that is number one is coming from one of those three. Who do you think we need to?
Did you say
nominating?
Justin Jackson?
Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson. No, Justin Jefferson. I thought I heard you say Justin Jackson.
Justin Jefferson. I'm sorry, Ms. Jackson.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I don't know how what the order we end up with, but I think it's those three in some order. I'm going to throw out Austin Eckler because what I will say is basically the same age as Christian McCaffrey. I think the threat of a sidekick, you know, long rumored that the Chargers want to get somebody to alleviate the workload, but I don't think they care about alleviating the workload in the passing game. He had 107 catches. He's now had 38 touchdowns in the last 2 years. What's the regression going to look like? A dozen? Like, you know, like, I think we're solidified in a role, and we're probably going to see a little bit of regression next year. He is going to be 28. So it starts at some point. But same thing with McCaffrey. McCaffrey has more of an injury history. Eckler's played 16-plus games in three of his last four seasons. He played 17 games this year. I'm going to throw out Eckler as the number one pick.
So I'm going to do this, Jake. I am going to throw out Christian McCaffrey, not just because of the Niners, but Christian McCaffrey was right behind him in total scoring. Week 10 on, though, Christian McCaffrey was the fifth highest scoring player, including quarterbacks, the number one scoring running back. No wide receiver scored as much, 18.8 points per game. The next person was Josh Jacobs. The next was Justin Jefferson. And then you've got more wide receivers. Austin Eckler was the third highest scoring running back during that time. And this kind of coincides more with his move to San Francisco, him being the total guy. So I'm a Christian McCaffrey guy in the way he was used in San Francisco, the way he's going to be used. Eli Mitchell worries me a little bit. Debo worries that McCaffrey was just the constant, and he was the best position fantasy player pretty much once he became a 49er. So I'm going to nominate Christian McCaffrey. So you could screw this all up if you want to say Justin Jefferson, or do you want to solidify what the first pick is going to be?
No, see, you brought up what I was going to bring up, the fact that since week 10 on, and you know, after Christian McCaffrey got in there and wasn't the first game and got into the workload and that we expect, and that was involving more than just Elijah Mitchell. You know, we saw Jordan Mason, Debo was mixed in and out, but like you just made the point where, I'm going to say this, I lean Christian McCaffrey by such a slim hair that I would just say, let's just make Eckler 2 and move on and figure out what
three
is. I think so.
Like, yep, that's exactly what I was going to do.
But here's the thing, we talk about this too, drafting, and what, this is how close it is for me. If I ended up with a number one pick 10 times, I might take Eckler 5 and McCaffrey 5, like that, just to diversify myself, because I agree with everything Funston says. And they had Joshua Kelly getting involved a lot this year, and they drafted Isaiah Spiller, who got mixed in a little bit, but as soon as Kelly came back, but it was never enough away from Eckler that if you look at them, they both had. Actually, Eckler had 3 single-digit performances. McCaffrey had 2. But you also have the one. Is it one more game? No, McCaffrey played a full 17 games. It's a slim margin. So 1-2.
It is. Well, and the thing that Eckler doesn't have is he doesn't have the coming from behind him an Eli Mitchell. There isn't an Eli Mitchell that could play into it, and he just never regresses. And that's a benefit. So I kind of agree with you. Mine is probably like out of 10 drafts, I'm probably 7 out of 10, but I'm a little tiny bit more of a homer. But we're gonna go McCaffrey 1-1. Eckler 1-2, and I think we also don't need to go into it, though, you know, if you guys want to throw in a little nugget, it would probably be beneficial. Jefferson, I think, becomes our default 1-3 here, because I think we all agreed that was what the top three is. No, we don't agree? Okay, so perfect. Then who's your nomination for 3?
Cooper Kupp. I don't care that he's coming off an injury. Unless we find out that he's not 100% from week 1, he would have blown away. You take out the game, he got hurt because he got hurt in the game. You take him out and you put back to what that was in those 8 games, and he's by far over Justin Jefferson by almost 2 points per game. He's still got that leg up. That was with a banged up Stafford, who says he's coming back, whether or not Sean McVay comes back. I know there's a lot of ifs, but you tell me Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Again, we're doing this way too early. This is January. There's a lot that could change. But Cooper Kupp healthy with Matthew Stafford, day 1 of the football season, he was over. Look at his game log. It was 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. Like, when he didn't get 20, he got 16. When he didn't get 20, he got 30. Like, it's Cooper Kupp never had a bad game before he got hurt. If you want to take Jefferson, I'm not going to have any qualms about it. And this is similar to the Christian McCaffrey versus Austin Eckler. Kupp 3, Jefferson 4, Jefferson 3, Kupp 4 if you want. But I'm, as of today, assuming the health, I would still take Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly when the injury happened, weeks 1 through 8. Kupp
1 through 8.
Was,
it happened in week 9.
I did it perfect. So week 1 through 8, Cooper Kupp was not the number one scoring wide receiver. He's actually the number 3 in total points, but he had a bye week in there, and only Stephon Diggs had more points per game than Cooper Kupp at that time. The person that we're not mentioning is Justin Jefferson. He was actually averaging 2.5 points less than Cooper Kupp during that time. So Brandon, what do you say? What do you think here? I think I might go with wherever you decide to go with this. I think there's a fantastic argument for Kupp. And I think if Kupp isn't the 1-4 or the 1-3, he probably is the 1-4. So this probably is a back-to-back. But what say you?
I mean, if you want, just real quick, I was going to final on this point. It was 20.6 points per game. That's Justin Jefferson finished with 17.7. That's almost 3 full points per game.
Yeah. But if I'm drafting right now for next year, I'm going to look at the age disparity, the fact that he is coming off an injury, the fact that Matt Stafford's coming off of a rumored career-threatening injury, although he says he's going to play, and the fact that Sean McVay hasn't decided whether he's going to be there, and the fact that the offensive line was terrible. Like, the Rams went into the season, everybody thinking they were a legit team to repeat, you know, go into the Super Bowl.
And didn't stop Kupp until that point.
No, I know. But if I always say this about first round picks, I want to eliminate question marks. So if it comes down to third year Justin Jefferson, who is just on an arrow up in his career, and as we always say, like we used to always say forever, third year is the year the wide receivers really fully blossom. Justin Jefferson's already blossomed, but like there's no reason to think that there's a backstep for him. There are ways to think that there could be a backstep for Cooper Kupp. I am okay with him at four, but if I'm really coming down to it, I'm like, there's just less things gnawing in the back of my brain with Justin Jefferson. And I'm one of the biggest Cooper Kupp fans there is. So I would take Jefferson. I would follow it with Kupp. I'm fine with Kupp at number four.
All right. I don't like that Jefferson can get taken away. Cooper Kupp never gets taken away. And that's the big difference.
There's a sour taste in my mouth from that week 17 game where Justin Jefferson was just absolutely shut down. And you're right.
Cooper Kupp. Dallas. It happened versus Detroit at the beginning of the year when everybody was talking about Detroit might be scared about their pass defense. And then whether you want to throw week 18, they were playing for week 18, which was just absurd, but they were playing for week. There's one other game. He had the bad game. Oh, against the Eagles. So
but what if you knew going into next year that Matt Stafford was going to play 10 games? I think that's on the table. Like
I said I have no problem with it. It's just like it's very close. I think this one's like where I said before, it's a 5-5. This one might be like a 6-4 or 7-3. But I'm not going to say I would never take Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and I think our official order is going to go Jefferson is 1-3, Cooper Kupp is 1-4. I'll take agreement with Brandon. Things are going to open up though here, and I want to point this out. In this mock draft, we are not going to be putting Bijan Robinson in. There are a lot of
or any other rookies,
there are a lot of mocks where he starts off as 1-5. And so just letting everybody know, Bijan looks like he has solidified himself as a first-round pick. But as Jake put it before the show, there's still a lot of scenarios that question this. You know, where does he end up going? Does he go into a shared space that isn't great? You know, I mean, even you put him in the Texans, that's good. But you got Damian Pierce there. That's not the one that you mentioned. You mentioned the Eagles. So we're just not going to put them in there. We will have plenty of times. We'll do this exercise multiple times when we have more. So Bijan will not be involved in this one. But this takes us to 1-5. And I think there's, again, kind of a multitude of options. I think Tyreek Hill makes a ton of sense. I think Derrick Henry makes a ton
if
of sense.
If I have 1-5 next year, Taylor. And this goes to 1-4, I have a definitive. This is like not even a question for me.
Okay.
This is all right. Locked who do we got? In. If I'm at 5 and those are the
oh,
top
yeah, I
four.
I'm sorry. I know who it is. Yeah.
Jamar Chase. It's not even a question.
Oh,
for me.
Okay. That's not who I thought.
Jamar Chase 100% because Jamar Chase is essentially Justin Jefferson, but he got hurt. Like, and he doesn't have the question mark of what's Kirk Cousins next year. He doesn't have the question mark of like, what are the Vikings next year? He still has Joe Burrow talking about ascending. The arrows are still pointing up. Justin Jefferson just hit his third year. Jamar Chase, about the same. Got Joe Burrow. Everything on this offense continues to tick up. By the way, Tyler Boyd, gone. So there you go. You get one person out of the equation. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think they're going to spend money when you have Higgins and Chase to bring back Boyd as your three. That's a luxury. But I think you look at what?
To chime in, I would say I think – to me, it's two guys, and one of them is Jamar Chase. I don't know how you – I don't know that I'm ready to separate him from Tyreek Hill yet, who just came off 119 catches and 1,700 yards with Tua, you know, yo-yoing back and
That's
forth.
Why, because everything you just said. So, like, his down – Tyreek Hill being banged up toward – like, he's just – at some point, he's always getting nicked. Like, it's just – he and Jalen Waddle, never going to be 100% all 17 games. But I'm going to use your argument for – me against me for Cooper Kupp for why I would go against Tyreek Hill is because is
okay,
Tua
that's like, fair.
What's but going on with Tua?
Where like, are you guys
I would
at?
Love
are you
Tua
guys
to be the answer? Yeah.
Are you guys both Tyreek Hill right after him then? Because that's kind of where I'm at. I would go
Chase Hill and then I would start talking running back. And I'm the running back. It sounds like I was the most running back proponent of the three of us.
I guess. Oh, I got a couple things here. So Tyreek Hill weeks 10 on was the fourth highest scoring per game, and Tyreek Hill was the third highest scoring weeks 1 through 10. Jamar Chase did not crack the top 5 in either one of those on a per game. I'm not going to cherry pick total points on a per game basis. So just throwing that back out there.
Yeah, but for a per game, for the season, Jamar Chase is higher.
No, for the season, yeah. Jamar
looking
Chase...
Looking at 17-4 to 17-4 to 16-6.
So I have 16-6 to where the hell is Jamar Chase?
17.4.
It's a touchdown. I have 15.3. I have half point PPR, 15.3, and Tyreek Hill is 16.6 weeks 1 through 18.
Look at that. I say 17.4, 11 games. I'm looking right at it.
Huh, that's weird. That's weird how I'm looking at it.
What do you see, Fonston?
Yeah, break the tie.
Okay, hold on.
I see 15.3 half point PPR.
I'm on the quarterback page. I'm going to Fantasy Football Today, and I'm going to go to half PPR. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
this is scintillating radio. So I see Tyreek Hill 16.6, and I have Jamar Chase 17.2.
Oh, I don't see that. Okay. All right. So the other thing I wanted to bring up was, so then however I'm looking at it wrong.
I think you're looking at, you. No, see, you have one of the, I know what site you're looking at. You're looking at a site that has the game log wrong because of what happened.
Oh, okay. That might
be an extra game.
Mm-hmm. That might be the case. That
it's,
definitely
it's tacking
the
on
case,
the extra there. Game of him being active when the game didn't happen.
Right. Ooh, you know what? That's Let me redo
which changes
this.
Diggs too.
That's interesting. Yeah, and if you take off, I'll just take off that week 16 for a second and see if that changes it. Yeah, it does actually. When I go weeks 1 through 16, Jamar Chase is number 4. He's number 4 now, but Tyreek Hill is number 3. So both of those guys are in there. Here's a guy that we're not talking about. So I think both of those guys deserve conversation here is Travis Kelce as well. Travis Kelce, there's a lot of conversation. I've seen him be a top 5 guy in a lot of early conversation because he's so dominant. Though I will say that he only scored about a point more than George Kittle on the second half of the year. George Kittle surprisingly found his season back with Brock Purdy. But on an overall season total, Travis Kelce was the most dominant at a position, scoring over 5.5 points more than number 2. Does Kelce not belong in this conversation?
I think he can belong into it, but I'm just not going to do it. I've said this a million times before. He was outscored on a point per game basis last year by Mark Andrews, which is why some people took Mark Andrews as the number 1 tight end. The year before that, he was just in front of Waller, I think, by himself. And then the year before that, he was neck and neck with, Waller and somebody? And Kittle. Kittle was actually, I think, 0.1 that year behind him. So, again, the consistency, the guarantee, the leg up, it's all there. The problem that I always bring up and why I'm not going to do it, but if you told me on the turn, maybe I can consider it, is because if one or two tight ends gets on his heels, you just lost the advantage of why you're drafting Travis Kelce. You're not only drafting Travis Kelce for the consistency, you're drafting him for that additional, you're destroying the rest of the field at tight end.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So real quick, I just want to point out, and then we'll probably need to get moving more on this, is if we go with Chase and Hill, we have a 4 straight wide receiver run we've had. Yeah. That means 4 of the top 6 picks are wide receivers, and we just said that the wide receivers and running backs are very close. So we'll stick with that. We'll go Chase at 5, Hill at 6, and we have Travis Kelce sitting out there. But again, I think that we're getting back into this running back territory where we got to probably start looking at Derrick Henry or who else? Who else?
Taylor. Why are we going to discount Jonathan Taylor just for getting hurt? He's in his third year. There's going to be a huge workload there for him. He probably got treated with kid gloves down the stretch because they didn't need him in a lost season. He could have played at some point, but like we're going to assume whether it's, I don't know, they make a move for Derek Carr or they do something, they're going to do better than a Matt Ryan coming into this year. Aren't they Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan to start your last 2 years?
Are they? They thought Matt Ryan was an upgrade on Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but aren't we at a point now where, you know, fool me twice, shame on us? Like they're going to do something.
You would think.
Better.
In 7 games, week 1 through 10, 12.4 points per game in half PPR Jonathan Taylor was. That was about 18.
Actually, here, I'll even cut to the chase for you. Cut out that last game. He's still 13.7. The very last one where he hurt and didn't play a lot. 13.7. 13.7 still puts him at RB 11. Actually, 12.1 behind Dalvin Cook. I'm going to say
he's a season away from one of the greatest fantasy running back campaigns of all time.
Sure. I would take him after. He would be the next running back after. I'm going back to Saquon Barkley. Why? Why are we not doing Saquon Barkley? He was already 5th this year behind Jacobs and Henry are the only two in front of him. We're not saying Henry, I'm assuming because of the age and how much he gets dinged up at this point. He's already missed time. Who's their quarterback? Is it Malik Willis? Is it Josh Dobbs? Did they go back to the draft again or try to find something else? Josh Jacobs, unknown. Where is he going to play? Similar. But Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley, similar career age And Barkley got to where he was without even a touchdown reception from Daniel Jones because he lost some of the receiving from Daniel Jones. Worst case scenario, he's back with Daniel Jones and the Giants. Worst case, and he's RB5 on a points per game behind those four. Best case scenario, he ends up somewhere else or the Giants do something, whatever it is. I just don't know. You say, why not Taylor? I'm saying, why not Barkley? Taylor would be my pick after Barkley, but I'm 100% going Barkley over Taylor.
So let's do this then, because I also think, like, Derrick Henry is just such a constant. Derrick Henry is such a constant. He ended up, I mean, he always ends up at the top, even though he's not a PPR option.
I know. I argued for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, he just continuously does. He was the fourth highest scoring running back in half PPR this year. We are not talking about Josh Jacobs. I'm nominating Henry, so I think we got to give our orders of what these three are. Between Henry, Barkley, and Jonathan Taylor, and that'll be our top three. So, Jake, are you going Barkley, Taylor, Henry?
Yes. Henry has not played a full season since, what, 2018?
What, he missed a game this year?
Just a game matters, and it's also just the banged up, and they keep trying to like seize this guy's walking into what now. Like, my argument for him last year is that he didn't have the normal career path of like, oh my god, all the touches. Like, that was always everybody's concern. It was like 300 carries. Okay, but now we're talking about 1,500 carries over the past 5 years. So now I'm like, now I am concerned. He's going to be 29. I am concerned about Derrick Henry enough to push him behind those two. Okay, this is where I agree with Funston 100%. I would go Barkley, Taylor, Henry would be my order.
And then what's your order, Funston?
Taylor, the funny thing is Henry had 60 more receiving yards than Saquon Barkley this year on 30 less catches.
Daniel Jones didn't throw to him, which was so weird.
Gosh. I'm going to go Henry Barkley.
You're going to go, okay, so you're going, okay, so boy, this is
I, it's get, really close between Henry and Barkley.
This is going to get convoluted.
To me, it's Taylor and then pick him in after that. So.
Well, because then I'm going to go Henry, okay, Taylor, well, and then Barkley. And what that's going to do
Taylor,
is
Barkley,
that's going to make
Jake,
Taylor.
Was yours make was Barkley.
Barkley is last for me. So this makes it's just going to go Taylor, Henry, and then Barkley is going to have to be the order here. So Taylor.
I would even go Devontae Adams before I went Derrick Henry.
Okay. Well, and then.
Even Stephon Diggs.
Okay. So here's a question real quick then. Brandon, do you think are you comfortable with Henry and Barkley above any of these next wide receivers? Because I have this set for the two running backs, and then
so
we probably
Taylor won that one. So Taylor's our fifth pick, or
Taylor's
our
seven.
Pick?
He's 1-7, and then
so
the order
question
I have
is Devontae Adams or Henry or Barkley,
because we already put Hill above, right?
Yeah.
Hill's five. Hill is 6.
So, and we feel pretty confident that Devontae Adams' quarterback is probably Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady.
It's not going to be worse than Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is just.
It might be on par. It might be on par. I'm
or
a little
it might
bit
be
worried.
Mac
I
Jones.
Go, dude. this is how far off you guys are from my list, because I would go Barkley, and then I would go Adams, Diggs, then Taylor, Henry.
See, I don't actually disagree with that. The only other thing we haven't done is Travis Kelce, though, and I think we're getting into a silly range.
We're getting close to him, but I'm not. I'm almost there, but not yet.
Okay, so you know what? I think Jake is onto something.
We can live with the running backs going. Bang, 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 I think.
I think,
yeah, but you would have to put, you guys don't want Barkley. You both have him third.
Okay, no, so here's what we're going to do. Henry's going to go to 11. Barkley's going to go at 12. We have to put Diggs, Adams, and we're putting Kelce in the first round. So now we have to order those.
I'm not putting Kelce in the first round.
You're putting Kelce in the first round.
Unless you put him at 12. I'm not putting him in the first round.
Well, we have the two running backs then. So we've got Henry and Barkley at 11, 111 and 112.
No, then put him at
Brandon, do you believe that Kelce should be a first rounder?
I think he should be 11 or 12 at the highest. I think we should move our running backs up, and I think so.
That's what we're going to do. This is the new order. We're going to have Henry at 10, Barkley at 11.
NWO?
Exactly. Kelce is at 12, and now we get to decide between Adams and Diggs, and that's going to be the decision making. And
wait,
you
one of them makes the first round, and one of them becomes the first.
No,
pick of the
they're both in the first round. One is 1-8, and one is 1-9.
I think I would take Henry and Barkley over Diggs and Adams, I think.
See, I think I'm taking Diggs over both, but I'm taking Adams behind both.
Really? I was going to go the other direction if I did that. So let's just, why don't we, oh God, I don't know. This is tough. Okay.
Break this up, Jake. Break this up, Jake.
I already did. You guys are on your own world because I went Barkley, Adams, Diggs, Taylor, Henry. So you're Barkley, in your own world
Adams,
over here.
Diggs. All right. So you guys both have Adams. So Adams is going to be 1-8. You guys have kind of agreed to that, I think.
Yeah.
Do you agree Diggs over the running backs, Jake?
Yes, except for Barkley. But you're on, I told you, you're in a different world than
I. But it's fine. I'm going Diggs, so that puts him there. Then we're going Henry, Barkley, Kelsey. That is our first round. We've officially acquired our first round based on kind of how the voting is going. And this is how it looks. Christian McCaffrey, 1-1. Austin Eckler, 1-2. Justin Jefferson, 1-3. Kupp is the fourth pick. Chase is the fifth pick. Tyreek Hill at 6. And that gave us four straight wide receivers between 1-3 and 1-6. We go Jonathan Taylor, 1-7. Adams, 1-8. 1-9 is Diggs. 1-10 is Henry. 1-11 is Barkley. 1-12 is Kelsey. We're going to stop at the first round, but there's a couple things we can break apart. Jake, is it fair to say the thing you hate the most about this is Barkley falling to 111?
Yes.
Okay. What is your favorite when you're looking at this?
The favorite pick out of all of these?
Yes.
I'd say...
Well, it would be Barkley at 111. Barkley.
If you hate and your favorite.
But I was making the argument for Barkley here last year and he outperformed this. So now we're going to put him back. We're going to put him back here again. So of course. So, 100%. That's where I'm
at. And then the last one I'm going to ask you, and then we'll go to Brandon. Who do you think is the most egregious person left out?
Left out?
Left out.
Are we assuming a lot of things as of today? Because I think there's two names I'm about to start the next round with. The two names were going to be either A.J. Brown, if we're going wide receiver, or if we're coming back to running back, one that got hurt, Breece Hall.
Breece was someone that I'm sitting on a whole lot. He's one of those forgotten names that I think is going to be a second-round value. Pointing out, A.J. Brown was technically the 11th total point scorer. Saquon was the 12th, but if we go points per game, Saquon does move up to, I believe, 7 in a points per game based on all these players.
AJ Brown was more points per game than CeeDee Lamb. So,
yeah, and AJ Brown was on that. Okay, so now we
tell you what,
Brent.
Real quick, sorry, Funston, this is the last one. If Ezekiel gets cut with a dead cap, we're now talking about Tony Pollard.
Well, I think Tony Pollard in about him in the second round, anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brennan, your least favorite pick in our first round.
The least favorite, it's probably, honestly, I understand it, but it's probably Travis Kelce. It makes a ton of sense, but I don't feel like you want to be the guy that comes away with a tight end in your first round. Like, still kind of on that, but it's the 12th one, so it's a turn. And it's not a big deal. Obviously, I think we kind of nailed it. I think these guys are the guys we need to be talking about in some order, and we've kind of meted it out, but. My favorite pick is probably Davante Adams or Stephon Diggs, because I don't think there's a huge separation between any of these wide receivers, and any one of them could be the number one guy. So they get your number one wide receiver of that group late. Like, Davante Adams legitimately could be the one of ones next year, and that doesn't even stretch the imagination at all. Adams is probably my favorite pick there.
Okay, and then who's the player that stood out to you that got left out the most?
Yeah, I was going to say Breece Hall. Other than that, I don't really have a problem with any of them. Breece Hall is the one where if we know he's, by late August, he's back to 100%, then he's probably going to go first.
With Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's not going to be playing with Zach Wilson. We know that already. So,
yeah. Breece is one for me as well. I'd point out Nick Chubb. I just personally love Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb was on this list. He ended up being I think it was the 8th or 9th highest scorer of anybody on this list. So he's kind of another one of those guys. Yeah, it's always a good question.
Are they going to play this game again? Like, if they go into next year and it's Chubb and Jerome Ford, because Darius Johnson's out too, probably not coming back.
Yeah, I think so.
Agent. So, if they do this and it's a late round 6th flyer, then it's like, ooh, maybe finally for Nick Chubb. But how many years have we been saying that? Finally for Nick Chubb.
It's also why it's a really intriguing spot to be around 10th or 11th with a pick. you know, because you might be able to snag like a Barkley and a Breece Hall or a Chubb and a Barkley or something.
I'm glad
like
you
that.
Said if that. You I'd rather it, be like 10 to control it. And because I don't want to get at the turn and be like, well, I guess I got to take Kelce and Chubb. I'd rather take Barkley, come back around and get Hall, or even like, the, you know, maybe a wide receiver or CeeDee Lamb. I'd rather do that. I feel like at the tail end, you're going to be like, well, I got to do it. And I hate feeling like I got to do something.
I also agree with the control. That's why I said 10 or 11, but 10, I agree with the control. It's the same thing like baseball drafts, having the fourth pick before you're just getting the last piece of something. I like to have a little bit more of the control. And it looks like that first end of the second round is really going to be valuable. And maybe and hopefully we can tackle that here in the very near future. We're going to try to go two rounds, but hey, it's an agreement draft. It's not so easy. It took us a little bit to get there, but we got there. And again, McCaffrey, Eckler, Jefferson, Kupp, Chase Hill, Taylor, Adams, Diggs, Henry, Barkley, and Kelce. That is the agreement draft order for the first round. And hopefully we can tackle a second round here in the future. We will for sure be back before the Super Bowl to give you guys a preview look at that. We'll probably talk about, you know, some of the fun props and everything that are going to be going on pre-Super Bowl. So thank you guys for hanging out. As always, make sure you go over to The Athletic. Check out all the great stuff that we've got. Check out the great articles. You can find Jake on Twitter at AllInKid, Brandon at Brandon Funson, and myself at Is It the Welsh. Until next time, we'll talk to you right here on The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.